This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is G.T. Thompson, representative from Pennsylvania, ranking member, House Ag Committee. Speaking of Thompson, recently at a dairy hearing talking about how fortunate the industry is that there's a safety net based on margins.
I am so thankful that when we set the dairy margin coverage, we based it on margin. You know, I saw, I think it was Southern Ag had a blog on Monday this week that talked about per hundredweight prices topping $27 per hundredweight. I didn't think we were going to see that. Unfortunately, agriculture is a business, right? At the end of the day, it's the margin that matters. So, again, very thankful that we based our safety net for dairy based on margin. It's probably something we need to look at for other commodities.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable G.T. Thompson. He's the ranking member of the House Ag Committee and also serves the people of Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the show.
Tony, thanks so much. Always an honor to be with you.
Well, it's been a busy time on Capitol Hill, and we kind of got used to not really having very many hearings, and suddenly now we've got a lot of hearings going on, and one recently on dairy. That's really in your wheelhouse.
Well, it was, we had a great hearing. We actually had two panels. First panel were we had two individuals who, you know, in key positions with USDA on dairy policy and bring a lot of experience literally to the table. So it was great to be able to get their perspective on, you know, the provisions of the Farm Bill that are there for dairy, certainly including the dairy margin program, you know, the emergency relief for dairy loss, obviously the things that RMA is involved in. And we're able to touch on a couple of novel programs that I'm glad to see continue. That was the milk donation reimbursement program and dairy donation program, and then the dairy business innovation initiatives, which are trying to support dairy businesses basically in development, production, marketing, distribution of dairy products. And then the second panel was a great panel. We had dairy farmer, Lolly Lesher from Pennsylvania, Mike Durkin, who's with Leprino Foods. You know, we were joined by Travis Forgus, who, you know, is with Organic Valley and that organic milk market that's out there. And then Economist out of the state of Minnesota that really touched on the dairy provision. So it was a good day.
Now, one of the areas that I kind of heard over and over, and actually this spills over to an earlier hearing, is that whole idea of the dairy margin protection program and focusing on the margins rather than just the end cost there. How important has that been a success in the previous Farm Bill?
Well, it's been an outstanding success, I think, by most measures. And I'm so thankful that the approach we took wasn't based on some reference price, which is kind of hard to do, obviously, with dairy when you're looking at class one per hundredweight price of milk. The fact is that margin is so important. And as I've been saying, agriculture, no matter what the commodity is, whether we're talking, crops or dairy, agriculture is a business, and at the end of the day, it's the margin that matters, because we're seeing record prices. I think that at one point last week, I saw per hundredweight prices for dairy come in over $27 per hundredweight, which is just incredible. And normally we would see our dairy farmers would be celebrating that. The problem is with the inflation and the just devastating energy policies that we've been living under now for 18 months, the input costs are significant, and we know that. We see what diesel fuel is going for, propane, fertilizer, if you can get it, the restrictions that we've seen coming out of this administration for crop protection chemicals. making it very, very difficult, and quite frankly, narrowing that margin at the end of the day. So it's, I think we're very fortunate with the dairy margin coverage that we did started that direction in 2014. We finally got it right in 2018. And the margin, when it comes to agriculture, is probably what we should be focusing on.
And there's also been some discussion about, can that be applied to possibly row crops? But when we talk about margins and the cost of production, really makes me think of a letter that you and Leader McCarthy were able to pin to the president recently. What was that about?
Well, I was very pleased. That was a week ago Monday. I was joined by nearly 100 of my Republican colleagues, including Leader McCarthy. He and I led it. We have Whip Scalise and Conference Chair Stefanik. We sent a letter to President Joe Biden, really calling on him and his administration to reverse what are overly burdensome regulations and policy barriers impacting American farmers, U.S. agriculture production. Over-the-top regulations really have caused some needless uncertainty for farmers and ranchers and working families. And so the letter just outlined several actions that that the president could do immediately. Doesn't need Congress, and it would immediately help farm families. It would help to bring down in the near term input costs. Quite frankly, in the long run, it would make food more affordable for American families. Everybody would benefit. But really the focus was addressing farm input costs. We did have information. One thing in there was just asking for them to stop with any changes to the water of the United States policy change. Stay really under the certainty that we achieved with President Trump with the navigable water role. Took a little jab at the EPA. Encourage them to refocus on science and sound science, not political science, when it their decisions. And finally, an issue that a lot of people have, it's an issue that have a significant impact on, especially small, medium-sized farms, and that is the Security Exchange Commission. This their climate roles they put, I think it's Tier 3 emissions role, which required data keeping and reporting by farmers on any publicly traded organization that they would deal with, buy from, contract through. Small and medium farmers do not have the resources to be able to be in compliance with that. So that was all part of that letter.
Finally here is, seems like agriculture has really had a seat at the table as far as what's happening over the last couple of weeks. Also makes me think back to a couple of ag bills on the floor last week, a couple of competing ag bills. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the House Democrat ag folks put forward a bill. They basically put a number of bills together, and they titled it Lower Food and Fuel Costs, which it was House Resolution 7606. And I have to say, I describe it as a cute, although terribly dishonest, new title. It did have with it a few bills that were strongly bipartisan that I'm very proud of, but it also had a poison pill in there. And in short, the crisis that farmers are facing with input costs and consumers are facing with food and fuel costs, that cannot be mitigated with unfunded mandates and duplicative authorities, politicized agencies, and quite frankly, big government. So, the poison pill within there was meat and poultry special investigator bill, which is quite frankly is just not necessary. And in fact, would probably drive up the cost of food in the long run, may result in greater concentration of that protein processing industry. We already have a division within USDA that does a great job. In fact, the Stockyards and Packers Division closed out 1,900 bills just in the year 2020, or investigations in the year 2020. And that doesn't speak to all the investigations they were actually responsible for. And so this particular bill was sort of a, it was one of President Biden's it's not my fault type pieces of legislation, trying to blame higher food costs on someone else. In this case, it really was on the poultry and meat processors. I'm afraid this bill, because of the new compliance, the uncertainty of who do you listen to, who's in charge, is it this position that would be created? Is it the USDA investigators and attorneys that, that they have already working on this? There's going to be an increase in compliance costs. And in the end, when there's an increase in government, the cost to comply with government regulations, it's the consumer that pays the bill. And so that's that was the bill that the Democrats put forward. We put a competing bill out there that we introduced last week, which was H.R. 8069. And it really, that's entitled the Reducing Farm Input Costs and Barriers to Domestic Production Act. And this one really was, focused on achieving in real time. It essentially would codify, what we had outlined in the letter to President Biden asking him to voluntarily take action. We don't see that happening. So we did put all that in the form of a piece of legislation. 20 co-sponsors originally, just a great piece of legislation if we could get this completed, because it would require EPA to, restore science in their decisions. It would provide clarity with WOTUS. It would rescind that SEC harmful proposed rule. And it would reinstate the 2020 NEPA streamlining and require an economic analysis on the costs and benefits of GPSR rule. So it would truly deliver in near time, reducing farm input costs. That and a whole lot more. That actually would deal with the mining, refining of what we need in order to produce domestic fertilizer here. Really touches on the issues that our American farmers are struggling with.
So many areas to be focused on, but we appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. Give us an update. Will you come back and see us soon?
Oh, I sure will. I always appreciate the opportunity. Tony, you're a great voice for, I think, America's number one industry, and the one that every American family relies on so many times a day, and that is American agriculture.
He's a passionate leader of the Republican Party. That makes him the ranking member on the House Ag Committee, Representative G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania on today's Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's time to get serious about just how good your tractor can be with the new Fendt 900, the ultimate row crop tractor, purpose-built to be the hardest working, most reliable, most comfortable tractor you can buy. With the best maintenance, service, and warranty program around, it's Fendt. It's time, and it's here. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, ranking member of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report, talking about inelastic demand. Dr. Jim Mentert.
When we teach in class and talk about inelastic demand, yeah, one of the examples we often use is demand for fuel, things like gasoline, right? Because it's difficult for people to change their behavior with respect to things like commuting, et cetera. And, of course, an inelastic demand, as you stretch out the time frame, you start to see people make changes in behavior. And the question is, how far into this do we have to get before people really start to change their behavior? And, of course, in the summer, one of the issues is what takes place with respect to summer travel plans, yeah, right? So far, the reports are that most people haven't really backed away yet. So it remains to be seen. But as we move through the summer, it would not be surprising to start to see some impact from these high prices, yeah, on consumption patterns. So that's the wild card, I think, with respect to ethanol. The margins look good. The question, I think, going forward is what happens to gasoline demand itself.